I loved that song. He's never going to let you down. God will never, ever, ever let you down. So turn to the person next to you and say, God will never let me down. And look the other person in the eye and say, God will never let you down. See, he is an amazing God. He's Father. And we're beginning a three-part series today called Conversations with God. And this series, we're going to look at the Lord's Prayer. And I'm just going to read you a quote here as we launch off, as we start. It's from the Archbishop of Canterbury. And he said this at the beginning of a video that was produced last year for the run-up to Pentecost. And this is just what he said at the very beginning. He said, "It's impossible to overstate, to exaggerate the life-transforming power of the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer that's reassuring enough to be on the lips of the dying and yet dangerous enough to be banned in cinemas. It's famous enough to be spoken by billions in thousands of languages, yet intimate enough to draw us into friendship with Christ. It's simple enough to be memorized by small children and yet profound enough to sustain a whole lifetime of prayer. When we pray this prayer, committed to Jesus Christ, there is no exaggerating, no imagining the new ways in which God can use us to his glory." That's a powerful statement to make. And I'm sure everybody in this room knows the Lord's Prayer. Or if you don't know it, you've heard it said. And so just right now at the beginning, let's just say the Lord's Prayer. We don't often do that like this here in our church, but I think we need to understand how powerful the Lord's Prayer is. So let's all say it together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. You know, some of us will say trespasses instead of sins, or sins instead of trespasses, or debts, you know, depending on what version or what you learn or the age that you are. And some of you will say you and some of you will say thy, but it doesn't matter. The words are the same, the intent is the same, and the meaning is the same. And we're looking at why does it provoke such extreme responses from different people? You know, it's that it can be said in that quiet, in that time of intimacy. It's said during funerals. It's said at weddings, time of celebration. It's said children say it. I wish that I could say that they said it in every assembly once a week, but I can't say that anymore. But so many of us know the Lord's Prayer because it is, it's so powerful. And Jesus said when he, in Luke 6, 9, he begins with saying, "This then is how you should pray." Yeah. And so we have an instruction from God. We have an instruction from Jesus in the Bible of how we are to pray. And I'm looking at what it says in Luke 6 at the moment. And so we're going to unpack this and we're going to look at the different words and the order, and we're going to say why is this the way that Jesus told us to pray? Why did he do this? Why did he start? You might have heard us refer to it sometimes as a set of bullet points. You know, we learn it by rote, and we can say it by rote, and actually it can mean nothing to us. But if we take each section and we understand what Jesus is saying by what he is saying, this is how to pray, we understand how powerful the Lord's Prayer is. So if we start at the beginning, Jesus starts, "Our Father." So I'm going to start with "our" first. I'm not going to do every single word through the whole thing, but I want to start with, just in case you thought I was. But I'm going to start with "our." What did he mean by "our"? He meant, my Father is the same as your Father.
Yeah.
My Father in heaven is our Father. Yours and mine.
Yeah.
And that's why he began with "our." In Luke's gospel it says, "our Father."
Yeah.
He's saying to the disciples, he's saying, you know, this is part of Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount, he's saying, "Our Father. My Father is your Father."
Yeah.
There's something powerful about us understanding who we belong to or whose we are. We need to understand that. Now, each of us will have been brought up different ways and we'll have different experiences of Father. Some of us will have had no Father. We've got no experience. Some of us will have had bad fathers. And some of us will have had absent fathers. But the good news is in Psalm 27, verse 10, it says, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me."
Yeah,
so it doesn't matter if you've had no father or a bad father or an absent father, because he's saying to you, "I'm your Father. I'm your Father."
Yeah, yeah.
We all have a loving Father. But what about those of us who say, "Well, actually, I had a good father"? Well, my father can't match the Heavenly Father. Would I say that my dad was a good dad? I would say my dad was a good dad. In fact, it was my mum who did all the disciplining in our house. But I would say that my dad was a good father. He brought me gifts. He made sure there was food on the table. They disciplined together. I'll say that. It's because he traveled so much. But he was a good father. And if I try and match my heavenly father to my earthly father, then I'm doing my heavenly father an injustice. Because he is so much more than my earthly father. So much more. So even for me to look at what I perceive as a good father and go, "That's what my heavenly father is like," is actually to miss so much that my heavenly father has. So we have to put all thoughts aside. All that we could imagine, because even when we imagine, we perceive through our own lens of what we see and understand is good. We have to put that aside, because I don't want to limit what my Heavenly Father can do. My good Father can provide me with lots of things, but he can't match what my Heavenly Father can provide me with. And we've sang, I love the songs we've sang today about being limitless. He's limitless. There are no limits to what he can do. And he's never going to let me down. And he's never going to let you down. Just say that again.
Never.
My Heavenly Father will never let me down. And turn to the person next to you. Your Heavenly Father will never let you down. You see, we talk about him as a good God, don't we? He is a good God.
Yeah.
And the word good, it speaks of virtue. But it also, part of its meaning, is about benefit. It's about being a benefit to you.
Yeah.
You know, if you eat a good meal, it benefits you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, if you read a good book as opposed to a bad book, it edifies you. You know, if you think about what good is, something good should benefit you. A good friend. You spend time with a good friend, you walk away encouraged. But if you spend time with somebody who gossips, who is always a drag and always about life, you don't come away feeling good, do you? It doesn't benefit you. So good talks about benefit as well. So let's just look at some things it says about God to do with good. It says in Psalm 23:6, surely your goodness, the goodness of God and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, goodness follows you.
Yeah.
Goodness is following you. If you seek to dwell in the house of the Lord, if you seek to live a life with God, His goodness follows you everywhere you go. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
See, that's what we should expect. The goodness of God, the goodness of our Heavenly Father in our lives all the time.
Yeah.
Psalm 27:13, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yeah.
You see, that's another confession that we should make. That we expect the goodness of the Lord wherever we are. In our streets, in our workplaces, in our places of education. We need to expect the goodness of God because there's no limits. He is your Heavenly Father. And He wants everything in your life to be good. Goodness is following you everywhere you go. See, we've got to think about the words that we use. See, when was the last time, and I'm speaking to myself, that I went, goodness is following me. Goodness is here with me. Goodness is here. See, following, you're right behind. Right behind. Goodness, it's right here now. The goodness of God in every situation that you're in.
Yeah.
He's working for your good.
Yeah.
Psalm 31:19 says, how abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. See, how abundant are the good things. How abundant are the good things that your Heavenly Father has stored up for you.
Yes. Yes.
He doesn't want you to live a so-so life. He doesn't want you to live a life where you just wake up and it's Monday again. He wants you to live a life where every day you wake up and you go, what's going to happen today? You know, I talk a lot about an adventure. I'm on an adventure with God. Because I wake up some mornings and I have no idea what's going to happen that day. And the day changes. And I love it. I love being adaptable. I love surprises. I've learned to love surprises.
Yeah.
To be ready for whatever God wants to do. See, He has so many good things for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And just a little bit further on in Luke. Let's just turn to Luke. Hold on. Sorry, Matthew. We're in the Matthew version here. Matthew 7. It says in verse 9, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" See, I debated whether to do this later on when it talks about daily bread. But actually, I think it's really important to do this now and to understand the goodness of God, the goodness of our Heavenly Father and what he has for us. You see, if I ask, you know, one of our children would come to Alan and ask, "Can I have dinner tonight?" Alan's not going to say, "No." He's going to say, "Of course," isn't he? But sometimes we think when we go to our Heavenly Father, he's going to say no. But if you have given your life to God, if you are saved, if you are walking with him, he says everything is available to you. Everything is available. All the abundance. How abundant are the good things? Goodness is following you everywhere that you go.
Yeah.
So I've got some biscuits here. So I just want to talk about what God is like. Okay. So Tracy, can you take a biscuit? Can you take a biscuit?
Oh, no, it's not open.
You can't take a biscuit.
No,
it's not open. So it looks difficult and hard, doesn't it?
Yeah.
See, do you think God presents things to us that are difficult and hard? No, he doesn't. He doesn't present difficult and hard things to us. He only gives us things that he knows that we can accomplish and do for him.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I'm going to unwrap. Because he's saying, "I'm offering you things that I know that you need. Would you like a biscuit?"
"Oh, thank you."
Okay, great. Okay. I'm just going to do something. You see, God, this packet, you've still got to work at it, haven't you, to get it out. These are called red velvet crunch creams. Oh, that was a good sound. Red's not going to work on white trousers, is it? Can I have a tissue? I was going to wipe my hands on my trousers. Thanks, darling. Oh, I see. Alan always carries a handkerchief. Men, this is just a little lesson. Do you know why men carry handkerchiefs? It's for the women, for the ladies. That's actually true. If you look in your history, it's not for the men, not for you. Okay, thank you. A bit old-fashioned, but I love it. If you want to buy Alan handkerchiefs, oh no, you could get deluged at Christmas, sorry. Okay, so, would you like a biscuit?
Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
Okay, I'm good to go. Oh, everybody needs... Would you like a biscuit?
Yes, thank you.
Would you like a biscuit?
Yeah.
Would you like one? Have you ever done that to your children? Have you ever done that to your children? Have you ever held the plate in front of them and said, "Do you want one?" And then as they go for it, you take it away? When you're playing? When you're playing. Has anybody done that? Yes, see, some of you have done it. Okay. See, God doesn't tease us. God doesn't tease us. He doesn't go, "Here you are. Oops. No, you can't have it." Or, "Here you are, oops, you're not good enough." He doesn't do that. Our Heavenly Father says, "Here, would you like this?"
Yes.
And we take it. See, I don't like teasing. In fact, my mum banned teasing in our house. We weren't allowed to tease. Because you're actually promising something that you're not going to fulfill. It's not teaching a good way. So it was banned in our house. And so I banned it in my house. And I don't tease much at all, do I? Occasionally I might. But somebody will go, Claire, that's not like you. Because I don't usually do that kind of thing. But you see, there's something else here. I've offered one, but I'm going to offer Simone one, see what Simone does.
No, exactly what I'm going to do.
Simone's just taken the whole plate. Because God is saying, here's an abundance for you. Here's everything for you. And sometimes we go, but we can't take more. And God's saying, yes, it's all for you. Because he is an amazing, good God. So he wants to give you everything. Everything. So let's just move back on to looking at this father heart. First Corinthians 8:6. Says, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. So there is one Father of all, God Almighty. He's the Father of all of us. All things came from him. And we live for him. Romans 11:36 says, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. See, God is the source of all things. He's the source of all things for us. And we need to understand we can go to our Father and we can ask. See, our Father, it's all about relationship. See, right at the beginning, our Father. It's all about who you belong to. Because who you belong to is who you define yourself by.
Yeah.
You see, I can say I'm Colin's daughter. I could say I'm Alan's wife. I could say I'm Joseph's mum. But actually, I belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is my Heavenly Father. And what he says about me defines who I am. So right at the beginning with our Father, we're understanding and recognizing who we belong to. So Isaiah 64:8 says, we are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. See, he takes us and he molds us. And he makes us into an amazing vessel fit for the purpose that he has made us for.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, if we start with what we're going to do for God, we're starting at the wrong end. We have to start first with who we belong to. Because that defines who we are. And then we understand what God has called us to do.
Yes.
So our Father, that's why it's our Father at the beginning. Psalm 139:13-16 says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I want you to say, I am wonderful.
I am wonderful.
Turn to the person next to you and say, you are wonderful. Say it again. I am wonderful.
You are wonderful.
Say it again. I am wonderful.
I am wonderful.
You know, when you find yourself in that situation where you feel bleh, you can go, I am wonderful. Because that's what God says about you. I am wonderfully and fearfully made. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This day was written. This day was written. Community fun day for those 133 guests. The day was written. Where you're going to be next year, the day is written. Because God is taking you on an adventure with him. And he is your heavenly Father. And he's providing everything for you. See, we cannot say, I am a mistake or I am an accident. You know, that's the way that the enemy talks to rob you. Because he wants to steal you. He wants you to feel down about your life. I wasn't planned. And it doesn't matter how you came to be on this earth. He saw you in the womb. He created you in that innermost part. And he's gone, right, I have a plan for your life. Part of that plan is submitting your life to God so that you can take hold of that plan that he has for you. But there are no accidents in this room.
That's right.
God has a purpose for your life. And if you're going, why am I here on this earth? Father is saying, because I made you, I created you, and I have a plan for your life. Jeremiah 3:19. You know, this is he's saying to the Israelites at the time, he's saying, how gladly would I treat you like my children and give you a pleasant land, the most beautiful inheritance of any nation. I thought you would call me father and not turn away from following me. You see, God's desire all the time is for us to live with him. And, you know, just I want you just to think about how amazing God is. See, God's outside time. You know, we've just seen, he's seen you in your mother's womb. He sees you in glory, okay? But he sees everything that you have done up to this point. And if you've not given your life to the Lord, you know, he knows that you're walking without him. But he doesn't say, you can't have everything. He says, no, here, I make, the minute you say, I belong to God, God says, great, here, have the abundance. It's all yours because you step into that inheritance. But what if we're walking with the Lord and we deliberately sin? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Because God is saying, I want you to call me Father all the time. Now, he knows if you're going to walk away from him. He knows if you're going to sin. But does that mean he stops blessing you up to that point? No. Can you understand how amazing he is? You think about somebody who has backslidden, all right? Before they backslid, was everything available to them? Yes, it was. But, you know, when we go away from God, we walk out from under his protection. Is it still available? Yes. But we need to make a deliberate decision to step back into the will of God. But I want you to see how amazing our Heavenly Father is, that he knows that people are going to walk away or sin. But he doesn't say you can't have the abundance. He's saying the abundance is there. Mm. Do you understand how amazing he is?
Yeah.
He wants us to repent quickly, to keep that short account, so that we continue to walk in that abundance and walk with him. Yeah. Because he everything is available to us. But it's the enemy who goes, you've done something wrong. You can't come to God. He's not going to bless you. God's not saying that at all. God is saying, look, here's my hand. I'm extending it to you. Here.
Yeah.
He's going, here, look. Here. See, forgiveness is a gift. He's going, look, here's forgiveness. Are you going to repent? Because you can have forgiveness if you want. He's an amazing God. I'm always, I'm amazed at how amazing he is. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I will be your father. We are his sons. There is a scripture, Romans 8:15. It says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father.
Yeah. Yeah.
Abba, Father. I've heard some people say, he's my daddy. Because that's technically what it means. He's my daddy. But I don't know how you think, but for me, that's what a little child says. A little child says, he's my daddy. And we sit, have this picture of a little child sitting on the father's lap going, he's my daddy, he's my daddy. And yes, that is right. But we also need to take hold of the fact that we are sons. We're not a little child anymore. We're not on milk. We're on meat and we're sons. And we need to take hold of our inheritance, everything that God has for us. Everything the Father does is for our own good. Yeah. All the time he's taking us on this journey, everything he's working in our life, it's for our good, to lead us onto greater and greater and greater things. Every test that you go through, okay, because there are tests. Through the years, Alan and my faith has been tested and it has grown and it has grown and it has grown. But God has so much for you. Our Father who art in heaven, he's on the throne in heaven and he wants to be on the throne in your heart. How much closer can he get? How much closer can God get than to live in our hearts? It says in 1 John 4:15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. We serve a holy God. Holy God. Haven't got time to go into hallowed be your name. But we serve a holy God. And that means, as that potter and clay, we're set apart for his use. And that's what God says to us all today. Will you allow me to work in your life? Will you allow me to be your heavenly Father? Will you allow me to be the potter to your clay? you're the clay. Will you allow me to work in your life, because I have so much for you, so much I want to give you, so much I want to pour out into your life. So let's just stand. Our Father. It's a simple statement, isn't it, at the beginning?
Yeah.
My Father is your Father.
Yeah.
And he says to you, he loves you. He's a good father.
Yes.
Everything is made available to you. But we need to make that decision that we're going to walk with him. So maybe in this room, you don't know the Lord. You haven't made a decision to serve Christ. And you're hearing what I'm saying and you go, yeah, I want to be the son, the child of that good, good father. I want to belong to him. I want him to define my life, not my earthly father, or not the perception that I have of a father, but I want the heavenly father to define my life. And you might not know what that all completely means, but we're just, if everybody could close their eyes, we just want to make that that decision available, that invitation available to you now. That if you would like to make, if you'd like to say, yes, I want to belong to the Heavenly Father. I want the Heavenly Father to define my life. Then if you would like to just raise your hand. So if you've never made that decision before and you'd like to make that decision today, if you'd just like to raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Or maybe you want to come forward at the end. If you haven't raised your hand, there's a team who will pray with you. To your right, my left, at the front, they will pray with you or explain more to you what it means to walk with God. But I just want to ask us all a question here. How do you see God? Is he your Heavenly Father who provides everything that you need, the abundant Father? Or are you limiting what he can do? Are you limiting by looking at your experience, or limiting by saying, I had a good father, God's a good father? Because that can still be a limit. Because I want to just say to you, today is an opportunity to change your thinking and to actually go, do you know what? My Heavenly Father never lets me down.
Yes.
He never lets me down. His goodness follows me every day of my life. Everything he has for me, there is an abundance of goodness. He doesn't tease me. He doesn't hold things and then take things away. He says, no, it's yours. Grab it. Take it. In abundance.
Yes, yes, yes.
Our Father. Let Father, let him define who you are, because you know I belong to him. And if you know you're walking your own path, you know, just make that decision today and go, do you know what, Lord? From today, I recognize that I 100% belong to you.
Yeah,
I am yours.